Coming from the Lower Haight in San Francisco, it's the Are You Serious Show.
Are you serious?
I'm Are You Serious, and this is my show. All right, welcome once again to the Are You Serious Show. I think this is my 32nd show. Is that
so?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I'm writing my memoirs, actually, of this program, and I've been making up a bunch of fabricated stories about various things. Jeff Deal was in prison during this show for months, actually.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Freedom Movement who rallied behind me.
Yeah.
Even though at the same time there was that guy getting executed, it was
he was addicted to cough medicine.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are back here again, and we're doing things a little bit differently this time because usually we are here with our co-hosts, and our co-hosts don't usually stick their tongues out at each other. But in this case, we're
like
already here
it.
With our guests, Anna Linewitz and Charlie Anders, and they're joining. Right from the start, in our poignant discussion.
Welcome. Come right in. You can't afford to miss this. Step right up.
Apparently, on Friday, they posted that 48% of Britons, only 48% of Britons, accept evolution. I was a little surprised because I thought only in America were people that stupid or far behind, and now to come and find that
spreading to the other English-speaking nations.
It's either spreading or it's spreading back, or I don't know.
And they buy into intelligent design, too, right? They said like a high percentage of them said it should be taught in schools.
Bunch of intelligent design, and there's a percentage for creationism, a substantial percentage that I guess think that humankind came into existence 10,000 years ago or in 6 days, and God rested on the seventh day, or whatever that all is about.
There's some book that somebody wrote about that, like back in the day. Yeah.
Sold a lot of copies.
Yeah.
Do it again. Anybody think that the Europeans are smarter than Americans? Eh?
Not much evidence for it. The Brits invented Luddites. That's all I'm saying. They're the Ur-Luddites.
They did do that.
Also haggis, which is a dubious achievement.
Haggis rocks, dude.
So you're saying that a group of people who invented haggis should believe in evolution?
Yeah, because haggis is the most evolved food there is.
Yeah, but look at the other food that they eat.
It's true.
Bangers. Bangers are highly evolved as well.
Bangers are good. And the mash. The mash rocks.
What's haggis?
Haggis.
Haggis? Come on, Charlie, tell them what haggis is.
Do you not know what haggis is?
Do you not know what haggis is?
It's sheep entrails.
Tell me.
It's Scottish food. It's the perfect food.
It's better than turducken.
It's the perfect food.
It's the perfect food.
Clearly, now that you describe it.
And this has to do with evolution in...
I think we're just saying that they...
Okay.
They're highly evolved in some ways. I mean, British
Because they do eat sheep entrails.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the,
I think that's logical. Anyway,
It's nice to be, in the vanguard. Anyway, it's nice for us to be defining the trends.
Supposed to welcome somebody? I guess we're totally.
You've completely
totally
ruined
off.
Every format
we're
of every.
We're totally off format today.
It was the haggis that did it. I'm sorry.
And as I said, we're here with Charlie Anders and Anna Linewitz, and they have a magazine called Other Magazine, and usually magazine blurbs are kind of lame, but I like this one. I'm going to read it. Are your political opinions unacceptable? Do people claim you're a member of a group you don't feel part of? Has your body ever clashed with social expectations? Have you ever had to censor yourself in a conversation about your life? Do you celebrate occasions that have no Hallmark card? Do you see something wrong when other people don't? Do you laugh during... I have to pause for that one. Do you laugh during the serious parts of art movies? Are you fascinated by things people consider strange or confusing? If you answered yes to any of the above questions above, actually, I'm making an editorial change there, then you need other magazine, and we need you. So that's a lot of people. I think we could rope almost everybody in.
That's the idea. We want to convert the world.
We want to turn everybody into freaks.
So people should realize that they're...
To freakify the world.
You realize you're eliminating the other category by doing that.
The other of other?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't care about them.
We only wrote down four questions.
Those are the people who believe in like creationism and all that crap, so I don't think we're concerned about them.
There are still others. There'll be other to the others.
Yeah. Although in our latest issue, we do have an article on Christian science fiction in our new issue. So even those other others can.
Haven't we had Christian something in pretty much every issue?
Christians did.
Or rednecks.
Christians
usually.
and in an interesting way.
And in a way to show that they're interesting.
We celebrate like the ways in which Christians and rednecks can be other.
I always wanted to see that Gibson movie. I never did get around to seeing it. But, anything that's that obsessive.
William
is probably
or
an
Mel.
Interesting. No, the Mel Gibson thing.
Anything that's
obsessive.
The Jesus thing,
has got to be
well, in his new
kinky
movie,
on some level.
Right? Yeah, and his new movie is all in, like, Aramaic or something like that. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited about that.
No, that was the Jesus
But the
movie.
New one is also...
The new one is the Mayan... Civilization.
It's all in
Quechua or something like that.
Excellent. So he's moving from Christians to pagans.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. It's like that movie, where all the people were covered in mud and spoke cave language, Quest for Fire. It's kind of like that, but with bigger vocabulary, probably.
Yeah, probably. And less anal sex.
I know. Remember Radon Chong and the anal sex? That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, recommendation number one. If you like Other Magazine, you may like Radon Chong having anal sex.
Is she in Quest for Fire?
Yes. Covered in mud.
Where did she have anal sex?
In Quest for Fire.
Well, it was intercourse from the rear. I don't know if it actually was anal or vaginal, but
it was
looked,
probably.
From
the rear.
The only Radon Chong movie I've ever seen is Soul Man, which is
another excellent film.
Another fine
movie. Oh, my God.
Movie.
It's true.
Another example of movie
goodness. History coming alive.
But what was she big in, though?
I think Quest for Fire was
the
big one.
Soul Man.
Soul Man was not. I don't think that.
Neither
Soul Man was her breakout.
No, Quest for Fire.
Oh,
was really
wasn't she
huge
also
at the time?
In one of the Electric Boogaloo movies?
Yeah, and she was
maybe
TV show too, wasn't she?
Maybe so. Maybe she's mostly just Tommy Chong's kid.
I have a Radon Chong record.
Wow! Did she sing?
She sings.
Really? She sings on the soundtrack of.
We're
Soul
gonna
Man.
Have to find this.
She does.
We can use this as the song
as some music. So Jeff already stole my only good question. Really, it comes down to this. Okay, so there's this whole sort of academic thing about otherness, right? That the other, all the
alterity,
all that kind of stuff. And so, I tried to narrow it down. What they say is basically it's bad to treat someone like another, but it's good to be another.
It's only bad to treat someone like an other if you don't negotiate it carefully and have a safe word, okay?
Exactly.
If there's a safe word, I'm going to other you for the next hour.
And stuff,
I'm going to other you for the next hour, but
that
if
person
I,
over there
if
really
I other
other,
you too much
you
or in the wrong way, then
you
get
to hug and be
red.
Yeah, you have to have a group hug at the end, for sure.
You have to bring them a glass of water after you're done othering someone.
So, basically, all social relations should be like S&M negotiations.
I think they are. Already are, but,
I think they are, and I think that's what other is all about. Stopping. Other is about othering without a safe word. That's what's so dangerous about our magazine is we're just going to go out there and treat you like an other, whether you like it or not.
You're not using safe words.
It's all consensual. People get to. It's an opt-in.
You think it's
magazine.
An opt-in?
It's an opt-in. People can be other or not.
See, I think we're playing good other, bad other here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what our editorial means.
Part of our
like
point
too.
is that everybody feels like an other at some point, and so everyone can kind of identify with that position. So, not the academic sense of an other, which is usually those kind of, other trademarked groups like a racial minority or being a gender minority of some kind. But we're looking at others that don't have those kinds of trademarked mainstream identities, people
so
like
it's the otherness in your brain kind of
it's the otherness in your brain or it's things like Christians who love science fiction or rednecks who want to save the environment or You know, like in the new issue, we have this article,
classic
which is about
rock bands that made a good song.
Yeah, that would be other. See, that all would right. be a
if we
classic.
Can think of any.
Yeah,
oh, come on.
Like in our new issue, we have this article that's about kind of a mediocre drug dealer. Like, where would you find that? I mean, you know, the classic other, right, is somebody who's a really great drug dealer that digs like a tunnel between, you know, Mexico and the U.S. and under the border. But, you know, this is a magazine where we're not afraid to have an article about a guy who's just like, well, I sold kind of okay drugs to some high school students, and it was good for a while, and, you know. So it's that kind of an other, you know, someone who really doesn't fit into any of the categories.
So you're talking about boring people, then.
No.
No, I mean, you know, there's
a because alienation is a universal experience, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please.
As the publisher, Annalie is the editor, and I'm the publisher, so my role as the publisher...
She's also the good other, and the bad other.
...is to be the voice of capitalism, and my goal is to monetize alienation.
The very voice of capitalism right here.
I am. I am the voice of capitalism.
you do great introductions, and your writers with drinks. Could you introduce capitalism? Capitalism a big introduction?
Yeah, introduce capitalism for us, Charlie.
Well, here it is, coming up on the stage.
Let me just finish what I was going to say first, and then I'll take a crack at it.
Capitalism is monetizing otherness.
I want to monetize alienation in Other Magazine because, you know, the more we can make alienation a universal occurrence across all people everywhere, the more money we get. Because the more people need us to give us money to find out how they're alienated.
No. Right. Unless we give them free copies of the magazine.
Kind of like an old way.
We're trying to create a new target market of the untargeted so that we can then like sell ourselves to Yahoo or Google or something.
Yeah, as for introducing capitalism, it's coming up on the stage, and I'm like,
you gave me a great intro.
I don't remember what I said about you.
Born during the Industrial Revolution, capitalism is grinding.
Capitalism
the
actually
19th
had a rebellious
century.
Phase for a while. It kind of like grew its hair out, and you know, experimented
some people
with
think it still has. I mean,
sniffing magic markers, and then it, you know. Capitalism actually joined a grunge band for like 3 years, but then it went back. I don't know what I would say about capitalism.
I think it's a good introduction to capitalism.
Capitalism starting in a grunge band.
Yeah, totally. Actually,
capitalism is now part of the internet singularity too.
Oh my god.
The internet singularity.
The internet singularity.
I just came back from
there
like...
There can be only one.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently not.
It's the big one.
I just came back from Microsoft where I heard a long lecture about the internet singularity. So get ready. Get ready for it.
No, wait a second. This is different from the singularity that the singularity...
How many singularities?
Yes. Oh, shit.
Sorry, I just destroyed it. We don't need it.
I think we're okay.
We're not using it right now.
That was punctuation for... Whichever. Now, what's the internet singularity?
So according to some marketing folks at Microsoft, the internet singularity is the moment at which, you know, all knowledge gets like crunched up into a big like mashup that you can plug into their Map API. But like, I'm not really sure.
Knowledge and ignorance unite.
Knowledge and ignorance get like swirled into like a big search engine, and then suddenly you
What's
can.
What's new about that?
Oh, there's nothing new about that. In fact, it's like 1999 all over again. You know, you just get to have, instead of having the actual singularity, you get to have the internet singularity. So instead of like transcending human consciousness, you can just like search really well on like, you know.
You can immerse
like,
yourself in current. Human consciousness.
Exactly.
You can mash it all up and smush it together.
Yeah, you can search it really well. So, you know, but that doesn't really seem like much of an exciting singularity to me right now.
Yeah, basically, if ignorance is bliss and knowledge is satisfaction, if you could be ignorant and knowledgeable at the same time, you could experience satisblition, which is like the perfect feeling.
You know, I've converted. This is the first, like, reasonable thing I've heard in the entire like, 30 Say it again, satisblition?
Yeah, satisblition.
I'm going for it. We're gonna take a break here and listen to some music, maybe by Chong.
Ray Don Chong, if we can find it.
And
I should rip it.
We can get sued for it or whatever, but we'll play it
Ray
anyway.
Ray Don Chong probably has great lawyers.
I imagine. Lovely lawyers. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Serious. Used to think the perfect girl was only in my dreams, till I saw your perfect face. on the movie screen. You seem to know that I was there as though from God's design. And as I cried, I told myself, someday you'd be mine. Gray dawn chong, baby, won't you hear my song? I have loved you for so long, and I know that I can make you love me too. I write you letters every day, I send flowers to your home, but it's difficult to prove my love when you won't answer the phone. And looking through binoculars makes it really hard to see you from the camp that I've set up in your front yard. Radon chum, why won't you
actually say the thing about satisplition.
We're back again, just chatting among ourselves about the satisplition and the...
we now have a spelling for satisplition.
Acknowledgeance. Combination of ignorance and knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, which, that is truly the internet singularity.
Probably describes this show. I don't know.
That word must look cool.
Acknowledgeance. I don't know if...
Okay, write it down with
I've
us.
I've got it written down. Also, I mean, you have a subtitle for your magazine, Pop Culture and Politics for New Outcasts. And, you know, what the fuck is wrong with old outcasts? That's what I want to
know. They've already been
They already have their own magazines.
You don't need my money then.
No, you can become a new outcast.
Really? Yeah, you can upgrade.
Some clothes or...
Give us your money and we'll tell you how.
Wait a second.
See, this is all part of the new capitalism that Charlie is promoting.
I'd give you like $10 or something like that.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. For $10, we could make him a pretty new outcast, I think. You know,
pretty
sort of new.
So what does a new outcast do for fun? For starters, we can talk about medicine later on.
Yeah. What do you think, Charlie? I bet you have a good answer for what does a new outcast do for fun?
Make fun of the old outcasts? I don't know.
Make fun of the old outcasts. That's a good
one. I'd like to do that.
I'm an old outcast. You can make fun of me.
I do that anyway.
But you don't have a word for it.
Now I do.
We listen to podcasts backwards and try to find satanic lyrics. And
and we can read other magazines.
Yeah, definitely buy other magazines.
All right, what's in the new issue then?
Well, we already told you about the kind of mediocre pot dealer story, which I think is very exciting. We also have a piece on the new vocabulary that's being invented on Television Without Pity, which is a fabulous website where people write really long, obsessive reviews of television shows that you don't watch.
Wow.
And we have an unpublished story by Rudy Rucker that's actually from the Realware Wetware series, but it's unpublished.
Yeah.
We made Chaim Bertman read 1,200 pages of Christian science fiction. We have the bowling alley in Antarctica.
Those stories that everybody that with that famous.
These are not famous. No,
these are actually stories for young adults that were published by what was that group?
Alaska said she just read 5 of those books.
They're really bizarre and interesting. And actually, we got them because they just sent them to other magazine because we're on some kind of list for like adolescent products. So we get a lot of zit cream and then Christian science fiction for young adults.
Wow.
So we got it and it was very exciting.
Do you sell the zit cream on the street?
Have you rubbed
the zit
cream
on eBay
on the Christian fiction?
On the Christian fiction. We didn't try that yet. It would kind of make the pages stick together, which you'd think that they would have developed adolescent books by now.
Teens have plenty of things to cause that to happen.
Jesus and rub the cream on that.
Yeah, but you know, Jesus always has such a good complexion. That's what's weird. Like, why did they have zit cream back in the
day? I bet he broke out just before he was crucified. You know, people get breakouts
from
out
stress or whatever. Yeah, you'd think, but maybe he had
when he was crucified.
No, that's right.
He was probably relaxed.
He was happy. He was doing God's
okay, whatever, yeah. Christian. Although, we also have a story in here Christian about stuff, how someone turned into a chicken, which is actually a true story, okay? It's not going to be like James Frey. They're not going to be like, oh, you made that up, all right? It really happened. She turned into a chicken.
She turned into a chicken, really.
She really did turn into a chicken, and we can prove it. So if you buy the magazine, you can find out
more. Is she still a chicken, or she turned back again?
She turned back so that she could write the story, yeah, because chicken, as it turns out, she couldn't.
Like a Kentucky Fried Chicken farm or something like that?
She, like, roamed free for a while.
She was free range.
Set your chickens free. When she was a chicken?
She doesn't get into that, but I bet she did.
I bet she did. We should ask her.
That's the expurgated part of the article.
Did she turn back into a person to write the story because she had really bad handwriting as a chicken?
Yeah, she was doing the hunt and peck method.
Chicken scratch.
Did she feel human?
Charlie is now slapping her head in pain.
Was she part chicken, part human?
I think she always had a chicken component to her identity, so... Yeah.
She was chicken identified, I think.
Yeah, very chicken identified. There's no eggs as far as we know.
Now, Other doesn't get into any of this egg crap, right?
Mm-hmm, no, eggs are for the old outcasts, okay?
Oh,
are you?
We're cruelty free also, except for when it's warranted.
Or negotiated.
Or negotiated.
Or before you've said the safe word.
Exactly. Huh. Well, that's implicitly negotiated. It's kind of like a click-through agreement.
Is it snarky? Is the magazine snarky? Because we had Dave Eggers on here, and we were asking him about snarkiness, and you know, because he's famous for being against snarkiness.
He is?
Yeah. Really?
Although he used to be snarky. But,
right.
He's post-snarky.
Somebody got snarky with him. You know how it is.
What does he think should replace snarkiness?
I'm not sure exactly.
Universal good reviews, I think.
Good reviews, yes. So only talk about that you cannot bring good news.
Can't be mean to writers. They put a lot of hard work into their works, and it hurts their feelings.
Well, I know. Do you have any bad reviews in your magazine?
Yes, actually, the new issue contains a hilarious bad review of this porn magazine called Sweet Action.
Oh, but they don't work too hard, so you can...
Actually, we also have some bad reviews of painkillers. One of the people who wrote a review...
I'm offended.
Yeah, well, no, he had some good reviews, but he just went through an operation where he got his colon removed.
He enjoyed major surgery.
And so he enjoyed major surgery, and so he kind of reviews all of the painkillers they put him on as he's recovering from getting his colon removed. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of different ones.
Removed?
And so, removed.
You can survive without a colon? You have to have a colostomy bag
or something? No, they reroute your small intestine. So they build it to your butt, dumbass.
We're not judgmental here at Other Magazine.
Sorry.
Hey, you know, I mean, the
you know, Jeff used to be my
open.
Boss, so this is like all like a big fantasy where I can call
if they
him
ask me,
head.
Where do you want your small intestine rerouted to? I wouldn't have an answer.
I would say Pittsburgh. I'd say.
How about right to the toilet, you know?
Reroute it to Pittsburgh, and I just won't have to look at it.
So, yeah, so as it turns out, they can remold you. And they can build
we can
you
build
a new
you.
So
new,
they build you basically build you a another
they build you
colon.
A big intestine out of your small intestine.
Isn't there
and
a
they
Philip
connect
K. Dick
it
novel
right
about
to your
that?
Ass.
Yeah, we can build
we
your
can
new
build
intestine
your we can build you a new anus.
Yeah.
wholesale.
So it comes back to the anal talk. Ray Don Chong and...
It's all about asses and Philip K. Dick.
Pretty much,
this
yeah.
show has been generally about...
Dick and ass.
Not.
Dick and ass.
I think so, yeah. Could be.
Oh, and I should mention, we have a blog at othermag.org/blog.php.
Can you sound a little more excited when you say that?
We have a blog.
That's
at
awesome.
Othermag.org/php. /blog.php. Wow.
It's great.
It's blogtastic.
Yeah, and there's 90% fewer ads for Viagra on there than any other blog.
Really? So there are a few Viagra ads.
There's a few, and also Texas Hold'em ads, as it turns out, are very
Texas
popular.
Texas Hold'em, they
in our comments.
Yeah, in our comments, yeah. Not actually as posts. We try not to post about Texas Hold'em, but sometimes it
so,
happens.
So how many people do you think are reading this thing?
Thousands.
Now say a million.
Thousands
say a million. Come on.
And thousands.
A million.
At least a million. Possibly even a billion. But that's from pass-through.
Pass-around
rate, yeah.
The people in North Korea have to read it, I think, don't they?
It's legally required. It's
it
true.
Is. Yeah, because it's so anti-American. So they like that about it.
What's
yeah.
your most anti-American article?
Well, we had a whole issue called Church and State, which was pretty much all about why we hate America. And the cover was very popular because it had a woman with extremely large breasts. One breast was labeled church and one was labeled state, and she was kind of squishing them together. So we weren't sure if people were buying it because they wanted political critique or they just wanted to like wank over these like huge breasts on the cover. But either way, we're happy. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, and it had my favorite line of all time, which is, standing up to religion is a form of anti-fascism.
Amazing.
I think those religious people are going to be the new others pretty soon.
Yeah, well,
some religious
people are good, right? You know, it's just, you know, the ones that we don't like, they're bad. So, yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you want to tell the Are You Serious audience before we...
Charlie and I have a book coming out in the fall, which is called She's Such a Geek, which is all about the experiences of extremely geeky women, whether they're scientists or video gamers or comic book writers. And this is certainly a book that is about others, since people seem to not believe that female geeks exist for some weird reason,
that they're this like tiny minority or that
there have been a few female geek books, I think.
We didn't find any. There's a couple that are... Like, there was one that was called...
And you criticized one of them, actually.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Which one?
There was one that was called Geek Girl, which was all about, like, how geeky girls shop on eBay.
Right, that's the one you criticized.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly the opposite. This is about how, like, geeky women build rockets and write comic books and smash things and, you know, blow them up.
All right, well, we want to interview all of the...
There's a bunch in the Bay Area. We should have a group.
We should have a group
grope with female geeks.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And Annalie and I each have books of our own, too. We can talk more about the geek women book in a sec, but anyway.
Yeah, promote your book, Charlie. Charlie's going to be a promoting machine.
I have a novel that's been out since last spring called Choir Boy.
And it's fucking awesome.
Which is sort of like a wacky transgender religious adventure novel about teenagers.
Wow.
Where this one teenager kind of doesn't want... He's a choir boy. He doesn't want to stop being a choir boy. He's at that point where your voice starts to let you down. And so he takes matters into his own hands, takes female hormones, starts kind of developing female characteristics, and people are confused about his gender, and he's confused about who he wants to be. And it all gets really confusing, and then there's a big chase scene and two parades that run into each other at the end. And it's sort of like
I think all sexuality resolves in chase scenes and parades.
And parades, completely like complete competing parades. And it's sort of like The Wrong Box, if you've seen that movie where there's like the funeral procession that runs into the chase scene that runs into the. It's all like that, but with gender
ambiguity. I remember a James Bond movie there, but anyway.
That sounds
really cool, and people can actually find that right now?
They can
right
find
now?
It on, you know, all the usual book whoring places. It's
awesome.
Published by Soft Skull Press, and...
Paperback is coming out soon.
Paperback is coming out next fall, actually. If you go to charlieanders.com, there's info there. Powell's has it. All the other places have it.
All right. And Allie, you're writing one on your own as well?
Yeah, I have a book coming out. You can't get it yet, but it will be available in July. It's called...
I thought that was the title of your book.
Yeah, you can't get it yet. Sorry. It's called Pretend We're Dead, and it's about monsters and capitalism. Monster movies and capitalism. I've been talking about it for years. People are sick of it. But it's finally coming out, so if you ever wanted to understand the secret inner meaning of the movie Spider-Man, and if you ever wanted to understand why brains are always becoming detached from people's heads in monster movies in the 1960s, this book will answer those questions.
Are most monster movies trying to praise or put out propaganda, pro-capitalist propaganda, or are they mostly critiques? There's a little bit of both.
Mostly because I'm looking at monster movies, they're not very happy about capitalism in general. Okay. So capitalism is always doing things like ripping people's bodies apart and murdering them, or like sucking them inside video games or things like that. So generally these are movies about people's anxieties about capitalism. And certainly they're not movies that were intended necessarily to tell stories about that. Although Wes Craven sometimes actually just like kind of steps in and hits you over the head with the message in his movies. But a lot of these are just movies that kind of express people's unconscious fears and, you know, kind of respond to the fact that people are so anxious about money and anxious about class that they just want to see it depicted as a giant drooling monster.
Yeah, well, monster and horror movie, I think directors as well as fans tend to be others, I would say.
Yeah, it's a pretty othery topic. So, and I had to watch like hundreds and hundreds of horror movies, which wasn't actually
hard. At what age do you start identifying with the monster or the, you know?
For me, I've always been very Godzilla identified, ever since I was about 5. So I would say for me, it was pretty early. First, you know, Godzilla identified, then vampire identified, which is kind of old hat. I mean, lots of goths are vampire identified, but, you know, it has that root in Godzilla identification. So that's, that's kind of where I bring it from.
And the movie Dead Alive is basically all about how it's really great to have a good lawnmower.
Exactly, that's true. Although I don't talk about that in my book because it's only American movies. So sadly, I couldn't even talk about 28 Days Later, which is probably the most magnificent horror movie to be made in the last couple years. Yeah.
Horror movie. Well, I think we should leave it off with the advice that it is really great to have a good lawnmower. And I want to thank both Charlie and Annalie for coming in to the Are You Serious Show. Jeff is looking at me weird, are you?
No.
Am I ending this soon? Or
No.
Well, I guess
thanks for having us.
All right. Well, thank you. And everybody go and find Other Magazine. And
Othermag.org.
Perfect.
Sorry.
Othermag.org. Look for the new issue. It has a purple unicorn on the cover, a controversial purple unicorn.
All right. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Charlie Anders and Annalie Newitz for joining us today. The music you heard was Ray Don Chong by Stephen Lynch. Next week, V. Vale from Research Publications returns. The Are You Serious Show is part of the Mondo Globo Network. Check out all the shows at mondoglobo.net. Thanks for listening, and don't be afraid of the dark.